We're going to read from verses 13 to 18. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 13 to 18. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So here in this passage we see a wisdom that the writer saw under the sun. He saw a little city with a few men in it, besieged by a great king. He saw that there's found in this city a poor wise man. We're told this poor wise man, by his wisdom, delivered this little city. We're not told how he delivered it, but he did it by his wisdom. In verse 16 there we see the writer came to the conclusion that wisdom is better than strength. We read there in verse 16 again, it says, Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. As strong as the great king was, with all his strength surrounding this little city, it could not prevail against the wisdom of one poor wise man. In verse 15 we see, even though this poor wise man delivered the city, no man remembered that man. In verse 16 we read that the poor man's wisdom was not only purposely forgotten, but it was despised, and his words were not heard, even though he delivered the city by his wisdom. People love to hear about the deliverance of a little city by a poor wise man, the humble underdog beating the mighty king. People love to hear that message. They love to talk of the victory. They love to talk of the outcome. They like to bask in the glory of the win. But when it comes to hearing the wisdom that actually delivered the city, they want to forget that poor man. And they despise the wisdom of the application, the wisdom that led to the deliverance. They don't want to hear his words. And I believe this is something that we have to be careful of ourselves. Sometimes we can be thankful to God for the things that he's done in our lives and the things that he's doing even in other people's lives. We tend to remember the victories. We can thank the Lord for these. We can be thankful for the victory. And that's not wrong to be thankful for the victory, but we can also easily miss the wisdom that God is trying to teach us along the way through these things. We want to be thankful people. We do want to be thankful people, but we don't want to be thankful people and miss and even overlook or dismiss or even despise the wisdom that God is trying to get us to see and learn. When I think back to some of the things that I'm so thankful to the Lord for, through answered prayer, I can easily remember the victories. I can remember the victories very easily. It's easily to remember those outcomes, but it's easily also to forget that wisdom that the Lord was teaching me through those times. God can easily do things. He's a powerful God. And there's nothing too hard for God to do. The Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32:27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. We see even King Nebuchadnezzar acknowledge in Daniel 4:35 the difference between the magnitude of God compared to man. And he said, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" So the Lord's powerful. He can do anything. There's nothing that the Lord cannot do. And when I think of how mighty and powerful God is, I think of the ease he could do things. When I think of salvation, God could easily just save us. God can do that. He could just reach down from heaven and say, "Look, I'm going to save you, you, and you, and maybe you." He could do that. But I think about all the things even through salvation, all the things that we learn through the way that God saves. Even though we are saved, those of us who are born again, we have learned a lot of things along the way. First, we learn the helplessness of our fallen nature. We hear the penalty for our rebellion. We learn through the law just how perfect and good God is. Secondly, we learn that even though we deserve death due to our rebellion, that God himself shed his own blood to save us from our sin and death. We learn through his sacrifice, the immense love he has for us, and to do what he did for us. And not only for us, but his immense love that he has for all men. Hebrews 2:9 tells us he tasted death for every man. It says there, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We learn the true meaning of love. When we look at the cross, we see the true meaning of love and all the details that led to the cross. We learn to take a scourging while still yet loving those that scourge us. When we think of our salvation, it humbles us. When we think of our salvation, it brings us peace. When we think of our salvation, we learn to be long-suffering. When we think of our salvation, we learn to be loving. When we think of our salvation, we learn to be thankful. When we think of our salvation, particularly the resurrection, we learn what it means to have true joy. When we think of our salvation, we think of the all that Jesus tasted death for, and we learn to be concerned for the lost as he was concerned for the lost. All these are learnt by looking at the wisdom of God in the details. God wants to do much more than just answer our prayers. We don't want to be like the ones in our passage tonight who forgot the wisdom of the poor wise man that delivered the city. It says there in verse 16 of the passage, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. There was a couple of weeks ago, I met a guy on the street at Hamilton, at Outreach. I said to this fellow, I said, would you like a gospel track? He said, no, I'm already a believer. And I said, praise the Lord. And I said, tell me all about it. He said, tell me all about it. I said, I want to hear all about it. And I said, I want to hear the details. I wanted to hear how precious that blood was to this man. I wanted to hear how grateful he was to the Lord. I wanted to hear the scripture that humbled him to repentance. I wanted to hear the joy in this man's soul that led him to the Lord. But there was none. There was none. I said, can I tell you about the blood that was shed for you? And he just looked at me with a gruff voice. And he said, haven't you heard of the Great Awakening? And he stormed off. And this man, he liked the idea of deliverance, but he despised the wisdom that brings deliverance. He was like the one in our passage in verse 16, where they like to speak of victory. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. In verse 17, it says, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. So we'll leave our finger there. We'll just quickly turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter 20. And we'll see here where a city was delivered. Not necessarily attached to this passage at all, but it'll just give us an idea of a city that was delivered. So 2 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 15 to 22. For sake of time, or just a little bit of background, we read here, there's a man named Sheba. He's the son of Bichri. In verse 1 of the chapter, he's described as a man of Belial. So, wickedness. He's a very wicked man. He'd led a revolt against David and against Judah. David sent Joab and some of the mighty men to pursue after this guy. Sheba then ran into this fenced city called Abel of Beth Maaca. So we read there in verse, we'll just read the passage. Starting there at verse 15, we'll read down to 22. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Maaca, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered down the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say I pray unto you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thy handmaid? And he answered, and I do hear. Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown over to thee, over the wall. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem under the king. So we see it there in verse 16, this woman said, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. She said in verse 19, I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. This woman was meek in her manner, unlike this man Sheba, who it says, if we go back there to verse 1 of the chapter, it says he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel. So this lady was very meek. She's softly spoken. She actually said to come here, come closer, that she can speak with him. Psalm 147 verse 6 says, the Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. It also reminds us of Proverbs 15:1-2, where the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So there's much wisdom in the Proverbs, and we should do well if we imprint that into our memory. The first few verses in the Proverbs tells us what the wisdom of God in the Proverbs can do for the believer. So we'll just quickly turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. And we'll just see how this wise woman of Beth Maka used the wisdom of God to deliver this city over here. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple. That's not like the devil's subtlety, by the way. That's discretion. That's good discernment. To the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this lady in Abel of Beth Maka was using the wisdom of God. She was gentle. She wanted peace. She was faithful. She feared the Lord. She used knowledge and discretion. She was discerning. She used a soft answer to turn away wrath. She even used an old saying that the city was known for. We see it there in verse 18. It says that then she spake, saying, they will want to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. So this city of Abel of Beth Maka was known for good counsel, and a lot of matters were settled in this city. This was a wise woman. She was humble. She didn't exalt herself. We see it there in verse 17. She said, hear the words of thine handmaid. She didn't think she was somebody special. It reminds us of her meekness. But when we think about her meekness, it's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Because we read there in verse 22, that they threw Sheba's head back over the wall to Joab. which would be a hard thing to do. I thank the Lord that these things are written for our learning and not our practice. So even though she was meek, she was still a strong lady. When we turn back to our passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll look at verse 17. This man Sheba can be likened to one that ruleth among fools. This man Sheba can be one that can be likened to one that ruleth among fools. The woman can be likened to the poor man who delivered the little city by his wisdom. This lady, by her wisdom, delivered this city. The woman's quietly mannered wisdom delivered the city. Job did well to hear what this woman had to say. Ecclesiastes 9:17 says, "The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools." We have to be mindful, I believe, when we pray and ask things of God, not to neglect God's wisdom in answering our prayers. The details of the victory are just as important as the victory. Yes, we want our prayers to be answered, but let's give thanks and think back to the wisdom of God that has taught us through answered prayers. We have to be mindful, I believe, and be appreciative of the wisdom that God will use to answer our prayers. It's so easy to be like people that forgot this wise man that delivered the city in our passage tonight. I think of when Israel was delivered out of Egypt. And when we hear Israel was in slavery in Egypt, and God could have just pulled them out of there. He could have done that. He could have just went, you know, I can hear your cry, I can hear your prayers, I can hear them, I'm just going to pull you out of there. But he didn't do that. It says he answered their prayer for deliverance, but the details he used to do it, it's those that he wanted to remember. The Passover, the plagues, the deliverance, the cost, his words, his wisdom, his power, his mercy. Psalm 78, 12, 18 to 18 says, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust." And it reminds us of James 4:3, where it says, "You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." When we pray tonight, we need to ask God in a good conscience. We need to give him praise, and we need to give him the honour for the marvellous ways in which he answers our prayers. So easy to forget the details. So easy to just remember the victories, to think of the prayers that have been answered, and we will remember those. It's so easy to do it, but when we think of the journey or the details that God's trying to teach us through these times, we tend to forget those. And God wants to do much more than just answer our prayers. In the last verse there, in verse 15 of our passage tonight, it says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." So even though wisdom is better than strength, even though wisdom is better than weapons of war, but look at this, one sinner destroyeth much good. We need to make sure that our hearts are pure toward the Lord. We need to make sure we need to come to the Lord with a clean slate. Let's thank him for the forgiveness and praise him. We need to do that before we ask anything of him. Let's thank him for his forgiveness. We've been forgiven much. We heard a couple of weeks ago in Buddy's sermon in Proverbs 28, verse 9, "He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Our hearts are not pure toward God. If we're hiding sin and not bringing this before the Lord, he's not going to hear us. He just won't hear us. I think of what happened there with Achan, We all know what happened in Jericho with Achan. Yes, the Lord delivered Jericho. Jericho got delivered. It was delivered in the hand of the Israelites, but the sin of Achan destroyed much good. When it came to taking the city of Ai, the sin of Achan prevented them from the victory until it was dealt with. So when we think of that verse, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Destroys much good. 1 Peter 4:7-8 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And I think of that verse that we started with. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. We need to be like this wise woman who showed all the attributes of wisdom that delivered this city. We need to be remembering the details of the delivery. We can forget those. We can just pray tonight for answered prayer. We can just want to see the results, and be totally unaware of where God may want to take us, what he wants to show us, showing us his power in what he can do in answering those prayers. He may not even want to answer that prayer at the time, but we need to be prepared and open and come before the Lord with a clean slate and be prepared to do our part even. Do our part. Oh yeah, we can pray for something. What does the Lord want us to do? What does he want us to do? You know, what can we do? And we've got to be have our ears open for that. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools.